This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
In Canada, one in five people experience a mental health illness in their lifetime. However, it is young Canadians that suffer the most, with 75% of mental health problems and illnesses beginning prior to the age of 25, and more than 50% beginning between the ages of 11 and 25. But less than 20% of these youth will receive appropriate treatment. Services fragmentation, coupled with underfunding, a shortage of mental health professionals, and a failure to involve younger people and their families in a long-term treatment solution have resulted in delayed treatment. The Access Canada Project is a new national research network that will use research evidence to bring about positive change in the way we care for young people with all forms of mental illness. We will seek to fix the gap in mental health care for youth nationwide. Ashok Mala is a psychiatry professor at McGill University. He will head the new Access Canada Project. He joins us on the phone.
Hi, welcome to People First Radio, Dr. Mala.
Thank you. Hello.
How did Canadian youth end up being so underserved by mental health services, if in fact there are any mental health services specifically designed for them?
Well, there are mental health services that people have, access to, but Canada is not all that particular in terms of not paying enough attention to youth with mental health problems. This is fairly universal. Some countries are a little bit ahead of us in terms of making some changes, such as Australia, and now I think we're kind of on the road there as well. Part of the problem is the way mental health services are organized. Child adolescent services are organized in a way that they end at 18. And the adult services begin at 18 and often come under different jurisdictions, different system of operation, funding, and so on. So there's a lot of systemic fragmentation, as well as in your introduction, you mentioned lack of involvement of service users, of a youth perspective, and also lack of recognition that this is the age period where most mental health problems begin. And really what's needed is that they should have quick access to very appropriate care that is acceptable to them.
So youth experience mental illness at a greater rate than others. That's one of the things that I learned in preparing for this interview. And I also read that early intervention is seen as being crucial. And I think you're going in that direction in your comments. Why is early intervention so important?
Well, early intervention is important. First of all, I think we have now demonstrated early intervention movement across the world actually has demonstrated that in one particular disorder, which is psychotic disorders with schizophrenia and related disorders, that if you provide appropriate, I don't think it's just providing it early. It has to be very comprehensive, intensive intervention, but provided very early, soon after the symptoms begin, because at that point, often these illnesses are at a stage that they are much more amenable to interventions, and people have not yet gone through months and years of suffering from some disabling symptoms, and as a result, also lost, other functions, maybe had a dropout of school. Families have had a lot of stress, and it just accumulates. And on top of that, when people have symptoms for a long time, they tend to consolidate the residual negative effects, which just basically snowball. So there is now enough evidence that if we intervene appropriately and at an earlier stage, we can prevent some of the later consequences. So what's happening now, for example, in a project like ours, the Access Project, we're extending that model of early intervention to all mental health disorders and hopefully provide it in environments that are much more acceptable, mostly, away from hospitals in primary care health settings or even in educational institutional settings.
Tell us more about the Access Project, who it targets and what it will do, and how will change be affected through that project?
First of all, ACCESS is essentially, it is a, it came to be as a result of a competitive grant, as a result of a grant competition that was based on an equal contribution from the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, which is our federally funded research, health research establishment, and a private family foundation called the Graham Beck Foundation, based here in Montreal. Each put $12.5 million, so they put together a fund of $25 million as part of what's called Strategies for Patient-Oriented Research from CIHR, from the Canadian Institutes of Health Research. So this was the first launch of any SPOR initiative, any Strategies for Patient-Oriented Research initiative. And the target here is youth between the age of 11 and 25. And this is, I think it's very important to convey to the listener that we're not, this project is not about changing all mental health services across Canada for youth, but using certain sites across Canada, across six provinces, to demonstrate that we have the knowledge, we have the know-how of being able to change outcomes for youth if we provide them care, access to care in a way that is a lot more acceptable to people and where people are going to be more involved. So what we've done essentially is the competition was held, we were successful, and it's a ACCESS is essentially a network across six provinces and one site in Northwest Territory, and including several sites with indigenous populations. We have two large urban areas, Montreal and Edmonton, involved with two sites each. And then there are sites in one site in Ontario, which is a kind of a semi-urban rural site. And then we have the province of New Brunswick. And we also have, as I said, many of the remote sites, for example, in northern Quebec, the Saskatchewan Federation of Indian Nations, the Eskasoni community in Nova Scotia, which is Mi'kmaq Indians. So we're basically, and in addition to that, I mustn't forget, we have in Montreal a site called Don La Rue, which is basically a site for homeless youth. So we're targeting youth in general, but we're particularly targeting youth who are generally at very high risk for mental illness, who already have been established to have high rates of mental illness. This would be homeless youth. This would be youth in indigenous communities, first-year university students who have just left home and are often under a lot of stress, and also youth who are under youth protection, say children under youth protection under the age of 18. And what ACCESS is going to essentially do is demonstrate that if we address four essential components, one is to raise mental health awareness and mental health literacy in each community, and then increase our capacity to identify cases early. And that would mean that, for example, right now, if only about 20% of people are able to access, we would hopefully increase that significantly, that larger proportion of youth would be able to access. And when they have access, the second component is that they'll have very quick access. We are looking at possibly targets of 72 hours. And this will be done through multiple portals. We'll be using e-technology, web portals, 24-hour telephone. We are partnering with Help Phone Kid, which is an organization that's been existent for many years. And then we will also have for them to have direct access to a trained person as well as a peer support worker in these sites, in these specific sites that I mentioned, where there will be spaces for youth to come in, to drop in, and come to a friendly environment and be able to seek help without being intimidated by the usual institutional kind of settings. And the third part is that they will then, obviously, those who need further care will have access to a more comprehensive care without having at the age of 18 to be shifted to a different system. So there will be some continuity over the age period of up to 25 if they need that longer service. So those are kind of the essential components of this program.
Are there any other particular challenges in completing this research and this program or project that you haven't mentioned that you might like to?
Well, there are when you do a large-scale network project like that, there are many, many challenges. Obviously, we have done our best in building this project, which has taken about 18 months to put it together, in involving youth as a principal stakeholder, families as another stakeholder. And then I think the challenge is obviously going to be for us to keep them involved and also at the same time create an environment where they feel not only involved, but they will be able to guide how we provide service. At the same time, it's extremely important for us to keep policymakers and decision makers involved, because they are an important stakeholder, that if we do this project, there has to be sustainability and then implementation beyond these sites. So that's another challenge, is to keep the policy people interested, which is basically government and other funding organizations interested, and they are involved from the very beginning, and that's a challenge for us, obviously, to keep them involved and keep them interested, and at the same time provide them the evidence as we generate evidence so that they can influence their policies. So I think another challenge is going to be able to provide adequate training, because even though we know what works, but there may not be enough trained people to provide that intervention. One of the things we've done is that we are hoping that within each site, the local environment, the local context, which is going to be different in an indigenous community as opposed to, say, downtown Montreal or Edmonton, that the way the interventions will be provided will be contextualized to the local needs. So that way, hopefully, we'll meet this challenge of extreme diversity across this country.
I look forward to speaking with you again, perhaps in a year or two, if there's an interim report released. But until then, thank you very much, Dr. Ashok Mallah, for taking the time to join us.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ashok Mallah is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at McGill University. He's the head of a new project called Access Canada, which will look to eliminate gaps in services for Canadian youth in need of mental health treatment.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.